The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with Micah.
Hey.
All right, so we are back with another episode of our episode-by-episode step-through show of Seinfeld. This is the Chinese restaurant. This, of course, is the very, like you said in the last episode, Micah, this is the seminal episode. This is where I feel like the show hits a stride. You know, it hits that one point where everyone goes, wow, this is the episode that everyone remembers. This is one of those.
Not everyone. NBC felt that the episode was uninteresting and did not want to air it. Eventually, the network agreed to air the episode, but it was relegated to the end of the season. The network's response was parodied in the season four episode, The Pitch, where Jerry suggests an episode very much like this one, and the NBC executives were not impressed.
That's funny. But it is the episode people go, I don't get this show, but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. One of the good things for me is that Kramer does not appear in this episode.
Oh, that's true.
He does not appear. And he was disappointed because he feels that this episode is one of the best in the entire series. And I'm inclined to, Michael Richards, that is, and yeah. I am inclined to agree with him. This show is kind of at the heart of what this series kind of is for me. It's like, nothing really happens, but nothing has to happen. Like things happen, but they're so minuscule, you know? It feels like something that could happen to you.
Right. And I think that's what makes the episode so great, is that people feel like, yeah, I've waited in a restaurant for an inordinate amount of time and I don't know why. But I did, and it was ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, we waited 20 minutes to go to Red Lobster the other day, and I was just like,
20 minutes for Red Lobster?
Yeah. Well, I'm in Silver Spring, man. It's not much going on out here.
Yeah, look who's got the nicer restaurants now, motherfucker. Baltimore does. That's right.
I don't want to go all the way to, I didn't want to go all the way to D.C. to eat. I just wanted something quick and dirty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Red Lobster is the perfect choice then. Their seafood could not be any worse.
Yeah, we really wanted some biscuits.
I was going to say, you better have gotten the cheddar biscuits.
Yeah. Look, we took some
I don't home. Even... I can't even have them, but even I'm salivating over the fact that cheddar biscuits exist. Holy shit. So good. Now, one of the other things that's important about this is this episode occurs all in one location.
Yep. And it's in real time, essentially.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. It's essentially real time. Like, they're waiting 20 minutes for this restaurant.
Yeah, you're right.
There are no cuts to other scenes or anything like that. It's like you're watching a play.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, that's exactly what it feels like. And I think that's part of the reason why this episode stands out.
Yeah.
Is that it does have that single shot, single camera feel to it. Although it is a multi-camera show. Because it's in one location, it feels small, it feels intimate, and it feels real in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, the plot is pretty simple. The three main characters go to a Chinese restaurant, and they're trying to go there before they go to the movies. They were planning on seeing,
Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Yes, Plan 9, which is considered one of the worst movies of all time. And so they go to the restaurant, and meanwhile, in the background of this episode, Jerry blew off dinner with his uncle, which I assume is Uncle Leo.
Yeah.
And he blew dinner off with him so that he could go see Plan 9 from Outer Space. So they get to the restaurant and they go up to the maitre d', who is played by James Hong, otherwise known as David Lopan from Big Trouble in Little China, and who is a stellar actor.
Yeah.
In it that he plays an amazing Chinese stereotype in every single movie, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
And So at the same time, George is trying to get in contact with this woman he's been dating named Tatiana. Come on, man. Come on. That name is already obnoxious. But he's trying to get a hold of her because what is his reason? Like, oh, he basically had to take a shit at her at her house, but he didn't like her bathroom, the design of her bathroom. It didn't give enough privacy. So they started having sex, and he stopped mid-coitus to go to the bathroom. Or to not to go to the bathroom, to go home to go to the bathroom.
I mean, look, man. I mean, these guys run through, everyone here runs through relationships, much like that shit was running through George's system. So, you know what? I mean, you might have to just kind of, you know, suck it up. She might be into it.
No, if she's into it, you break up with her. You break up with her immediately. She's disgusting. She's a disgusting person. Here's a personal question. I mean, this is this show, so that the idea of personal points means nothing.
Oh, yeah. You wait till we get to the contest. We're going to get real personal.
Oh, I'm not looking forward to that now. We should totally skip it. So have you ever had to stop mid-coitus to do something?
No, I can't. Not that I can think of.
I never have.
No, because you know what? I'm gonna ride it out.
You can power
whatever
through.
It is, I'm gonna ride it out. Especially because I am not a ladies' man. So whenever I did have sex, I had to do it like it was the last time I was ever going to do it.
Because it might have been.
Because it just might be.
That is simultaneously the funniest / saddest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. That's funny. I have never had that happen to me, but I have heard a story from a close person that I know. And this guy was saying how he was in Brazil and he was with his girlfriend who lives in Brazil, aka some woman he's sleeping with while he lives in Brazil at the time.
Right.
I mean, his girlfriend. Yeah. Okay. Why do you have four girlfriends? I'm confused as to how girlfriends work. So he hadn't been to Brazil in like 3 months or 6 months or whatever. So she hadn't seen him. I guess she was keeping it tight. I don't know, for him, whatever, not buying it anyway. Okay. Please. But she hadn't seen him. And so she's like, oh, you know, come on, let's bang. And he was like, I really can't because I got sick from some food I ate. And so I have diarrhea, basically. And she's like, no, come on. He's like, okay, all right. And like, he was like, I had to stop mid-coitus to go to the bathroom. That's unfortunate. And he was like, I could not continue.
Wow, I am sorry. Especially if you're in Brazil, so I can imagine what this Brazilian woman looks like.
I saw what she looked like. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
You got to suck it up, literally.
Like you gotta, just put a cork in there and keep going, man. Don't pump too hard.
Oh shit! What a ridiculous thing to be in the doghouse for.
Yeah, like, but George doesn't tell her that's the reason. He's
right.
I've got to go. That's it.
Mid-quarters. Well, use the small bathroom. Like, I've been to one of our friends lives in Harlem in an apartment that might be the size of an SUV. and she has a really, really small place, man. Like, you stretch an arm out from the kitchen and you are in the bathroom. So I understand the small apartments in New York, but you got to do some gymnastics or something, man. You got to make it work.
I don't know, man. That would be, yeah, I feel like I would just have to be honest. Like, listen, I got to make something happen. Also, I would have done it before I started.
Yeah, man. Like,
what are you doing?
He tried to
power through, dude. It's a disastrous idea. Like, the way that he goes about describing, like, the situation is maybe one of the funniest things of all time. Because he's like, there was a, you know, because it's obviously network television, so they can't say, like, I had to take a shit. He's like, there was a pressure building, you know, and he's like, I couldn't tell her this. And what did you say? I couldn't tell her this, nor did I have the time to tell her this. Like, it's just really hilarious. They do such a good job in writing around the fact that they can't say certain things.
Yeah.
They just do a good job in that. So at this point, you know, they go up to the maitre d', and the maitre d' is like, oh, it'll take 5-10 minutes and then you'll have a table. Well, that just sort of continues and snowballs across the course of the episode, where they're being blown off all the time. Now, meanwhile, George is trying to get Tatiana to talk to him again. So he goes over to use the phone, and there is a guy using the phone. And the guy is just ignoring George. Like, George is like, excuse me, are you going to be long on the phone? Which, by the way, George, you don't do that.
Yeah.
But like, the guy's already on the phone.
Yeah. Sorry, man. Like, you skipped out. You missed out.
Yeah. You just have to wait till the guy's done. And, but again, this goes to their like self-important way, right? Like, right. That's just who they are.
Right. The guy's got the nerve to say, we're living in a society when you want to kick the guy off the phone.
Right. Cause whatever you're talking about is more important than whatever anyone else is talking about. So the guy just kind of gives George the cold shoulder like the entire time, which is hilarious. And that, of course, comes back even better later in the episode. So they're sitting there, and George calls Jerry over and says, hey, man, if I get into a fight with this guy, you got my back. Jerry's like, yeah, I want to rumble. Like, what are you talking about, dude? You're an adult. Why are you getting into a fist fight over a fucking telephone call?
Oh, shit. I mean, that's funny, man. Like, he's ready to fight over this woman, because this guy won't get off the phone. Like, okay, George. All right, buddy.
So silly. So
now, he should have asked Terrence. Terrence would already be cracking his knuckles. Like, let's do it now.
Terrence would have just taken the phone, taken the receiver, and beaten the guy over the head.
Exactly. Terrence might as well be Irish, because he likes to fight.
That's true. And he likes beer. So.
And he likes beer. There you go. All he needs is red hair.
Well, there's a Photoshop job. It needs to happen. A shots fired image with Terrence with red hair. Shots McFired. So the three main characters they're starving. Like, they're like, oh my God, I'm so hungry. Jerry says to Elaine, he goes, listen, Elaine goes, I'm so hungry. I could just go take some food off someone's plate. And Jerry goes, I'll do you one better. You walk over to that table over there with the three older couples and you go over, you don't say anything. You pick up a egg roll. You eat it, you wipe your mouth, you say thank you, and you come back here, I'll give you $50 cash. Would you do it?
You're damn right I would do it. It's $50, dude. That's $50 now, also. For $50 in 1990?
Oh, yeah, that's $100 in 1990.
Right.
I can fill up my gas tank almost twice.
I would absolutely do it. I would, especially if it's a bunch of old white people. Like, they already think I'm some sort of thug ass hooligan anyway. So yeah, I'd do it. Might as well get an egg roll out of it. Absolutely, I would do it. No question, I would do it.
Yeah, I would too. I have no problem in eating an egg roll off of somebody's plate. Maybe even for free, depending on how hungry I am. I would have done it. But the funny thing is, George, Elaine asked George, she's like, would you, you know, should I do it? Would you do it? And he goes, for $50, I will put my face in their soup and blow. Like, again, George is a raging Jewish stereotype. So he will do anything for money and he doesn't like paying for things ever. But yeah, $50. Absolutely. Absolutely. I would have been like, I would have taken that egg roll and I would have looked at them and I was like, give me another one. Right now for $50. I would have knocked their food out of their hand for $50.
Like, it depends, and again, it all depends on the person. You know, I'm not gonna go over there and you know, like a table full of bodybuilders.
Yeah, no, come on, man, that's crazy. Like, hey, here's a table full of gangsters. Why don't you go over there and take their cannolis? Yeah, I'm gonna not do that. Yeah, that's right. That's what I said. Gangsters eat cannolis. Very stereotypical. But yeah, it was the easiest bet of all time. Now for like, what would be your cutoff? Like, how low would you have to, how low of a monetary compensation would you have to do? No less than $20?
No less than $20. Because you can't, like,
because you might get kicked
out. Anything without $20.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, $20 might as well be the new dollar. Like, you can't do anything or get anything worth any type of substance with less than $20. What are you gonna go to if you're hungry and you don't have $20? What are you gonna do? Go to McDonald's? Gross.
Yeah.
You need 20 hamburgers. Yeah, you're gonna die.
I did that once.
I did too, actually.
I took $20 in college.
Yeah, it was college, and we had to. They were throwing like a party or whatever, like a going away party, because it was the end of the semester. And I was in charge of half of the catering. And, you know, I forgot. So it was something out of a McDonald's commercial. Like, I went to McDonald's. I ordered 50 things from the dollar menu. I ordered 25 hamburgers and 25 chicken sandwiches.
Are you serious?
I am dead fucking serious.
Not even cheeseburgers, hamburgers.
Whatever was a dollar. If it was a dollar, all right.
Oh, it had to have been a cheeseburger then.
All right, yeah. Whatever was a dollar. I ordered 25 cheeseburgers and 25 McChickens. And I came back looking like a hero because everyone else went to like All Bon Pan and everyone tore up those double cheeseburgers and McChicken sandwiches. It was something straight out of a goddamn McDonald's commercial. I swear to God.
That is maybe one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
People were pissed, man. People were really pissed at me at McDonald's because they had this gigantic order and everyone else.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to have to make 20 fucking quarter pounders with cheese. What the fuck, dude? That's a very similar story to mine, because when I was in college, we went to a McDonald's and they had it was like cheeseburgers were like 59. I think like a cheeseburger was 69 cents and a hamburger was 59 cents.
Yeah.
And we went to McDonald's and we had a $20 bill. And we're like, give me as many cheeseburgers as this buys. Like, we didn't even calculate out if that was like 18 or 19 or 23 or whatever. We're just like, you do the math. Give me all those cheeseburgers. And they made them, you know, but they were pissed. And they were like, the next time, you need to call ahead. So we took those cheeseburgers and we ate a few of them because they're cheeseburgers and they're delicious. And then we just took the bag straight from McDonald's and put them in the freezer. And then every day we would defrost and cook a McDonald's cheeseburger for lunch for like 20 days. So for 3 weeks, almost 3 weeks or a little over 3 weeks or something like that. Yeah, we would eat a single McDonald's cheeseburger every day.
God damn, college life, man.
Dude, like, looking back in the things that I did in college versus the things I don't do now, like, they are worlds apart. I once stole one of those rotating like soda signs from a Burger King. me and my friends in college did. We were just like, fuck it, I'm out. Like, we just stole it. Like, it was like, we've got the new slushie this month. And it was like one of the ones that they have, like, by the drive thru. And, you know, it's like midget size high. Yeah. And we just took it. You know, my friend had an LTD, like a big, like Crown Vic almost type car. It was me and him, and we grabbed it and threw it in his back seat and drove off. We had it in our apartment all the way to the end of the semester.
That's funny.
It's such a random thing. We're like, yeah, this is awesome. Why? Why is this awesome? Why would anyone do this? Because we're dumb. You're in fucking college, man. That's what you're supposed to do. Stupid shit.
Now, do you have a favorite Chinese food place, or do you have any like you're a foodie? Where's a good place to get some Chinese food? Because I'll tell you,
I can tell you a place that's not good.
Good.
There's like this place in DC that everyone loves. Uh-huh. It's like fuck you me or some shit like that. I don't even know. Duck Longo. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's terrible. Like all the food is lukewarm and is like gelatinous, and it is literally the most revolting thing I've ever had.
There's a couple Chinese food places. One, I know you know. I'm not saying this place is good, by the way, but on Liberty Road, the Golden Dragon.
Oh shit, I have an awesome story. Go ahead, continue your story. I'm gonna write down Golden Dragon so I don't forget this.
That place might be the most hood Chinese food place I've ever seen in my entire life.
Is it still there?
Yeah, it's still there.
How?
Of course it's still there. It's the Golden Dragon. Like, it has to still be there. It has to still be
there. Are you sure it's still there? I don't think it is.
I think it is. We'll have to.
I'm Googling this right now.
But, I mean, people are getting shot. People are getting robbed at that place. People are getting shot and robbed at that place and still waiting for their goddamn food. Like, that's how hood that place is.
Like, you're talking about the one...
By that hood-ass giant.
Yeah, across the street.
By that hood GameStop that I used to work at.
Yes.
And I think Terrence got robbed somewhere around there. Like, it's ridiculous, man.
Didn't that GameStop that you were, didn't it get robbed a number of times?
Oh, yeah, it got robbed a few times. I'll tell one of those stories later, too. But, yeah, it got robbed a few times. And, Golden Dragon, hoodest place ever. Don't go. Look, if you ever come to Baltimore County for whatever reason and you are hankering for some Chinese food, do not, I repeat, do not go to the Golden Dragon on Liberty Road.
It is still there.
Of course it's still there. Because
it has an 83% on Urban Spoon. Don't trust that. Don't trust
it. Yeah, no. Urban Spoon. Yeah.
So, very urban. I took a date there.
Oh, my. What are you doing?
I took a date to this place. I took, as you know this person, I took the diva on our first date there.
Oh, my God.
So, here is my Golden Dragon story. This is kind of amazing. I totally forgot about this place. My Golden Dragon story is I took her there, and she's a very good-looking girl. I was trying to impress her. We went to a movie, some terrible movie. I don't remember, but it was like a comedy because I believe in using comedy as an inroad. you're loosened up. Great. So we went to a shitty movie. Then we went to this restaurant, and it was late. Like, the movie got out at, like, 10:30, 11 o'clock. So it was late, and Golden Dragon was the only place open because it's hood. And I didn't really remember how hood it was because the last time I'd been to the Golden Dragon was as a kid.
Yeah.
So I was like, as a kid, I was like, Golden Dragon, this is like being in China for real. You know, like, that's what I thought, you know, because I was a kid and kids are fucking stupid. lo and behold. So I was broke, though. Right. This is at the time. I had not bought two cars at this time, but I was still broke. And I was getting ready to leave for college, so I didn't have any money. And so I pulled the greatest move of all time. Of all time. This is of all of the dating moves I ever did, this is still one of my all-time favorites. Which is, you don't have a lot of money. You know what your budget is, like $45 or something like that. You let her order first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she ordered fucking, I don't know, chicken lo mein or some shit like that. You know, some standard General Tso's chicken, some standard black people Chinese food. And I was like, I'll have soup. I'm not really that hungry. Was I hungry? Yes, I was starving. But that's not the point. Got to keep that check low. But yeah, that was that's where I took her. And we went out after that. So clearly she didn't have high standards for a restaurant.
Well, she was black.
Yeah,
so,
she was.
So she was happy with that Golden Dragon hood shit. Nah, bro.
You ever gonna take your fiance there?
Oh,
she's black?
There are plenty of places where I am never taking her. Especially going back to Baltimore. I'm like, let's hang out in Baltimore and see some of your... nope. Sorry.
The next time the four of us hang out, I'm going to be like, you guys want some Chinese food? I know a great place. Do you guys have your bulletproof vest on? Because you're going to need it.
I mean, Jesus Christ. And then there was another Chinese food place. I think it's Mr. Lee's or something like that. It's downtown.
That already sounds racist.
Yeah. Like it's downtown on right across the street from the Renaissance Hotel.
Okay. Yeah.
And that place apparently used to be good, but is just as hood now because there was like some shooting or something there. I don't know what it is about black people and Chinese food, but
we love it, man.
We love it, and we like to shoot people.
Sometimes this chicken lo mein is so good, I gotta bust a cap.
Now, you know what I find ironic is that stereotypically, black people love fried chicken, right?
Yes.
And we know how to make fried chicken. Like, you want to slap your mama, right? The best store-bought, some of the best store-bought fried chicken I've ever had is at a Chinese food place.
That is 100% correct.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what they're doing. There's a Chinese food place around a Chinese restaurant around the corner, and their appetizer is four wings. And that's what I ordered, two of those, and I am set. That complete your order? Like, yep, that's all I want. Just two appetizer orders of fried chicken. Like, they know me now.
That's because you're the only black person in Silver Spring besides your fiance. They're like, oh, Micah, how many apple you want? That's hilarious. So, all right, let's finish this episode up. So George leaves a message. He finally gets on the phone. He leaves a message for Tatiana to call him at the restaurant.
Yeah.
And so at one point, they're like, we got to leave. Like, we got to try to make this movie. And now Elaine's like, I got to scarf down a couple of burgers. I'm starving, whatever. And so the maitre d' yells Cartwright, and George like sort of turns around like, all right, like, oh, okay. And basically the guy had said like, oh, Cartwright 4. He meant to say Costanza 4, but he's super Asian, so he just mispronounces everything, I guess. George goes to explain to Jerry and Elaine what happened, and they're like, but you're not Cartwright. He's like, of course I'm not Cartwright. I know that. Like, what the fuck? Like, his day is just ruined. Chinese restaurants are hilarious. Because when you call, they are already answering the questions that you haven't even asked yet.
Right. As soon as you pick up the phone. Whoa.
I have an order. Everybody take it easy.
I love my Chinese food place, though.
We don't really have we're so fucking bougie. We don't have a Chinese place.
Of course
you
do.
We have a Japanese place.
Of course you do.
Yeah. There's a sushi place we always order from. They deliver. And it's sushi, so it's like way more expensive.
Yeah. It's ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, but it's so good. Yeah, we don't have a good Chinese place. I'm kind of disappointed about that now that you say that.
Oh, there's always PF Chang's.
Good night, everybody. That place is very mediocre, and the prices are way too expensive for what you're getting. Like, you better get on it. People are like, oh, P.F. Chang's is shit. No, it's not. No, it's not.
I can't remember the last time I had P.F. Chang's.
I can. It was like 4 years ago. Four to 5 years ago was the last time I had P.F. Chang's, and I was highly disappointed. Highly. All right, that is it for us. For the Chinese restaurant, a seminal episode. Make sure you find your own local Chinese place. And if you know a good Chinese place in Baltimore, let us know. All right.
Go.
We'll see you guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Bow, 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 bow. Really?